It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Sunday. Happy May the 4th. Some of you may also know May the 4th as Happy Star Wars Day. So, of course, what better way to start off the Hot Seat here with Vinny Fredericks with the Star Wars main theme. Truth be told, I can't say I'm the biggest Star Wars fan out there. I never watched the movies growing up. I'm trying to get more into it now. I'm being convinced by some good friends. I did go see Revenge of the Sith last week in theaters for the 20th anniversary. Had a ball. Great movie. So maybe it's time I go back and revisit these old Star Wars movies. Discover a newfound fandom. But happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Welcome back to this Sunday edition of The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. And wow, what a stacked week, a stacked weekend. I mean, you got the MLB still, going on. The NHL playoffs. Wild Game 7, which we'll dive into in just a little bit. We got the NBA playoffs, a not-so-wild Game 7 last night. Again, we'll dive into it. Another Game 7 coming up later on today. The Kentucky Derby just yesterday. And boy, oh boy, none of it is overshadowing the fact that Albany is a lacrosse town. We'll start things off locally here because what a weekend it was for UAlbany and Siena Lacrosse. We'll start there with Siena in the MAC Championship facing off against Sacred Heart. The Siena Saints lift their fourth MAC Championship for men's lacrosse in program history with a 12-8 victory over Sacred Heart as they, completely take over this game. It's the first championship won by Liam Gleason, who was also the MAC Coach of the Year. He's been with the Saints since 2019. It was Pratt Reynolds who made MAC All-Tournament Team, who scored a game-high 5 goals, 2 at the end to secure this one. And he's now officially hit 167 career goals, 1 goal away from tying Tony Astorino's program record at 168, who played back from 1978 to 1981. Ryan McCarthy, the MAC's top facilitator, was, just that once again in this game with 5 assists, while the Saints received plenty of backup from guys like Patrick Radomski, Connor Huffnagel, who each scored twice. Plenty of help to go around as both McCarthy and Huffnagel joined the other two players as MAC All-Tournament Team selection. So, Siena playing in the MAC Championship for the second time in just 3 years. They have officially gotten it done here in 2025, and will be heading to the NCAA tournament. Now, who will they face? Well, we'll get there in just a second, because we could have one of the biggest lacrosse games of the tournament going on in the first round. We'll get to that in just a second. Moving over to UAlbany. UAlbany women's lacrosse. They take on Rhode Island. They are in Rhode Island. They are at Bryant University. They are taking on the championship here as of course the matchup here disappears on me. They are taking on Bryant University. So Bryant hosting the tournament as the number one seed. The Great Danes look to take down the number one team in the America East Conference after beating UMass Lowell just this past Thursday, May 2nd, with a victory of 18-10, as head coach Katie Thompson and her girls with I wouldn't call it a blowout, but that's a pretty hefty victory in a semifinal matchup in a conference tournament. 18-10. They score 7 goals in just the fourth period to get themselves the victory. It was Chloe Ruse who led UAlbany with 7 points from 6 goals and 1 assist. Michaela Mooney tallied with a team high of 2 assists. The duo of Grace Sinsabox and Quinn McCarthy with 7 saves total.
an absolutely great performance from the Great Danes. As you know, they got into it pretty early, 40 seconds into the game, with their first goal coming from Michaela Mooney, which UMass Lowell would respond quickly to with back-to-back goals of their own. But these Great Danes, they are resilient, they are tough, and they end up with the victory as you know, they forced 19 turnovers against UMass Lowell, led in shots, had plenty more ground balls. A great outing from the UAlbany women's lacrosse team, and they will also be heading to the NCAA tournament. As well are the men. The men, they will, let me not get ahead of myself. The women are not headed to the NCAA tournament yet. They take on Bryant, as I mentioned, in the championship coming up at 12 noon. If you go on to UAlbanySports.com and go to the women's lacrosse section, they'll have links up there for the stream, for the live stats, all of that great stuff for you, which, of course, you know, if you're following this team, now's the time to show your support, show these Great Danes, you know, that, that you guys have their backs, and hopefully we get not one, not two, but three teams going to the NCAA tournament, because, as I mentioned, Siena men, they're going to the tournament. Also, quick note on the Siena women, they would fall Friday night to number two Fairfield in the MAC tournament, 12-16, after beating Quinnipiac in the second round just last Sunday. So a great season for the Siena women's lacrosse team. Unfortunately, could not make it to the MAC finals, but still a great year for the Saints under coach Schwan Tetro. And again, you know, Albany is just a lacrosse town, I guess, because all these lacrosse teams continuing to find success as the UAlbany men continue to find success, hoisting their second straight America East Championship trophy after defeating the Bryant Bulldogs 12-7 just the other day. It was Brady Smith who earned America East's Most Outstanding Player Award after making 13 saves for the Great Danes in this one. Ryan Doherty led UAlbany with 5 points, 3 goals, and 2 assists for him. Silas Richmond had 3 goals as well and 1 assist for 4 points. Jackson Palum also with a pair of assists, finding 2 different teammates for those. Justin Lee, Cade Galco, and Jacob Smith all with 3 ground balls picked up. It was Justin Lee and Max Neeson who led the Great Danes with 2 cause turnovers each. And also Silas Richmond, Brady Smith, Silas Richmond, Jacob Smith, and Max Neeson, who were all named to the all-championship team in the America East for the men's side. And again, I mean, you knew that this men's lacrosse team was special. I mean, Coach Marr has been doing this for a long time. You knew that for them, this is always the goal, to win the conference, get to the tournament. Here's where things get interesting. There's a real chance here that we see Siena and UAlbany facing off in the first round. Yeah, you heard that right. There is a very good chance that we see UAlbany versus Siena in the first round of the NCAA tournament. This is from Mark Singlace, who covers Siena basketball and lacrosse, and you know, all things local sports for the Times Union. He put out a tweet just the other day, or just yesterday, I should say, that UAlbany men's lacrosse coach Scott Marr and Siena coach Liam Gleason both seem pretty certain, Marr even more than Gleason, that it'll be Great Danes versus Saints in Wednesday's opening round of the NCAA tournament. And my, oh my, is this going to be a ridiculous game if that is the case. You got crosstown rivalry. You got first round of the NCAA tournament. Two teams who know each other pretty well, I would say. And they're going to be facing each other for pretty much the season. Well, yeah. They're facing each other for the season. The season's on the line. They're trying to win a championship. They're trying to stay alive. And it would be one hell of a matchup. So I can't wait to see if that ends up being the case. But again, great seasons all around for UAlbany and Siena lacrosse, both on the men's and the women's side. We will not, unfortunately, be able to get John Bam Bam Mueller today, as the baseball team for UAlbany is currently with UMass Lowell. They have a game coming up just at 12 noon to try to close off the series on the road at UMass and try to close it off with a sweep, which at this point, looking at the standings, so right now, UAlbany, they're three games back from UMass Lowell. They're currently at the bottom of the standings, and it's looking like it'd be tough for the Great Danes to get into the conference tournament, but they were in a similar situation last year. Then they rattled off a few wins in a row and really got hot at the right time and found their way into the America East Conference tournament. So they're down, you know, three games back from UMass Lowell right now. Say they get a win today, fingers crossed. Now you're only two games back. You go and you have UMBC coming to your field next weekend for your final conference you know, series. And UMass Lowell, they will be taking on, as I pull up their schedule here, I want to say Binghamton. Oh, no, they take on NJIT, who is currently the number three team in the conference, sitting at 10-8 overall. So, I don't know. If UAlbany sweeps against UMass Lowell, now you're talking only two games back. And if UAlbany can get a good series against UMBC and NJIT takes care of business against UMass, look, there's certainly a real chance that we might see a possibility for the Great Danes getting into the conference tournament. So all great stuff on the local front. Also, hey, if you were watching the Kentucky Derby, hope you had your money on Sovereignty. It was not the horse that I had picked. I was going with Flying Mohawk because some that, you know, may not know, I did sport a Mohawk growing up, especially during the Pop Warner football days. I was a Mohawk kid. So unfortunately, my horse didn't win. But I think I've figured out the key to horse racing. And shout out to my pops for this, because I was watching the race with my folks and we're watching the parade out, if you will, with all the horses before the actual lining up in the race. And we're watching it, and he notices that the horse Sovereignty seemed to avoid its bowels, if you will, or relieve himself in the middle of the track while they were walking out. In other words, the horse took a dump on the course. And he starts saying, well, the horse is lighter. Keep an eye on Sovereignty. He's a couple pounds lighter now. Got that pre-race dump out. And lo and behold, he was right. Sovereignty ends up taking it. And from now on, if I'm betting on horse racing, I'm watching, you know, every single horse I can pre-race. Who's going to the bathroom? You know, who's looking like they're going to take a dump? Because as soon as I see a horse take a dump right before that race starts, I'm hammering that horse all day. That's the one to bet on. That's the one that's going to win. I have unlocked the secret to winning horse racing every single time. And what a time to do that, as it's almost Saratoga track season, almost the summer. Cannot wait to get up there and spend some time at the track. All right, when we get back, there's still NBA playoffs. There's still MLB going on. We'll recap it all for you coming up after this break. We'll dive into the NBA playoffs, break down the Game 7 from last night, preview Game 7 coming up tonight, and the Knicks' second round matchup against the defending champion Boston Celtics. Stay tuned. More of the Hot Seat coming up next here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the Hot Seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
I say settle down, everything is fine. Take your eyes off the floor.
And we're back here on the hot seat on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Oh, and the free 104.5 The Team app with your host. Oh, it's Vinny Fredericks here with you on this Sunday morning. The NBA and the playoffs. Man, it is just always exciting, except for when the games are absolutely terrible. And that was the case last night. I was so excited. I texted my buddies. I said, come over. We'll hang out. You know, we'll have some drinks. We'll watch game seven. And we did that until about three, I wouldn't even say maybe like 2.5 quarters into Clippers Nuggets before we were like, all right, this game is pretty much over. Let's put on the hockey game. Because the Denver Nuggets, I don't even know. That's all you could say. The Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers. Clippers, not very good. Nuggets, pretty solid. The Nuggets end up taking home the victory 120-101 in the first game seven of this NBA playoffs in what was just an absolute butt whooping. The Nuggets led by as many as 35 in this one. And it won't make up for blowing a 20-point fourth quarter in game seven last year at home to Minnesota, but this was a pretty good win for the Denver Nuggets, who will now take on the Oklahoma City Thunder in the second round, which should be a pretty solid matchup. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the big man duo of Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren will be able to contain Nikola Jokic. And does the Nuggets, or I should say, do the Nuggets have anybody that can handle Nikola Jokic? Or excuse me, it can handle Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's going to be a very interesting series to see how these matchups go. Because on the Thunder side of things, you know, they have a lot of good and very, you know, lengthy defenders and guys like Jalen Williams and Lu Dort. So they got plenty of guys who can guard the 1-4. Maybe not be able to guard Jokic, but could still guard pretty well 1-4. But on the other hand, the Nuggets, I mean, Aaron Gordon's a solid defender, but he's really playing more of the four next to Jokic. Michael Porter Jr. is not guarding anybody, I'll tell you that. Jamal Murray, he's a solid defender. He's still, you know, a little, I'm not going to call him short because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just really tall for point guards in the NBA, but it's going to be a very interesting matchup between these two teams. I really thought that the Clippers had a chance in this one. I mean, healthy Kawhi Leonard, healthy James Harden. Really thought they were a sleeper team in the playoffs. But James Harden, something needs to be said about his performances in big games. Because James Harden just had his 55th, you heard me right, 55th. Career playoff game with less than 4 field goals made. In this game 7, he went 2-for-8, had 7 points, he had 13 assists. Cool. 13 assists is impressive. But 2-for-8 with 7 points and 2 turnovers? He had as many turnovers as made field goals in a game 7? Even Kawhi struggled a little bit. I mean, 6-for-13, not the most efficient game. He still had 22. Derrick Jones Jr. started off real hot for the Clippers, had like 7 of their first 11 points, ends up only finishing with 12. And for the Nuggets, I mean, just domination. The entire starting lineup scores 10+. Russell Westbrook off the bench, 16-5-5. Jalen Pickett, the former Siena guard, gets a few minutes, gets himself a rebound in this game 7. But Jokic didn't even need to do too much on offense. Only 16 points. Got 10 rebounds. Got the double-double. 8 assists. 3 steals on the night for Jokic. Interesting stat there. Aaron Gordon led the team in scoring with 22. Christian Brown with 21. And in this one, it was such a sloppy game in the first quarter that you knew that at some point somebody was going to turn it on. And the Nuggets, I mean, the Clippers were blowing a few open layups, but the Nuggets, almost every possession, were getting guys wide open for three. And I'm talking wide open threes. and at least six or seven of them missed in just that first quarter. You know that at some point those threes are going to start falling. An NBA caliber team is not going to miss open shots all night long. And that was the case. That's what happened here. The Nuggets started hitting their shots. The Clippers went completely ice cold in the third quarter. And Denver just ran away with this one. The Clippers started to make a little bit of a run back into it at the end with their bench, because I think there was maybe like 8 minutes left in the game and the Clippers just emptied their bench. We didn't see Harden or Kawhi for most of the fourth quarter. It's game seven. This is your season you're talking about. And I know those guys were struggling, but I mean, come on. They're supposed to be your best players and you don't have them on the floor in game seven in the fourth quarter. I cannot understand that decision. Even if you're down by 35, you still need those guys out there. I digress. Nuggets take on the Thunder in the second round. Coming up tonight, it will be, we actually have two games, not just game seven. Starting at 6 p.m., we've got Pacers-Cavaliers, game one of that Eastern Conference second round series. After the Cavaliers completely obliterated my Miami Heat, and the Pacers take down Giannis and the Bucks, this should be an interesting matchup. Pacers, a lot better than I think a lot of people give them credit for. I'm the kind of person where I need to see a team prove it to me before I can really run with the idea of them taking down another top team. But Pacers were in the conference finals last year. They didn't have Benedict Mathurin last year. Miles Turner continues to rise to the occasion in the playoffs. Pascal Siakam has been here before. Tyrese Haliburton, when the games get into those clutch moments, he always demands the ball, and he's made plays, especially in that Bucks series we saw in that overtime game winner. So this should be a good one. Very intriguing series to watch here. If I had to make a prediction right now, I think I'd go Cavs in six. Maybe Pacers push them seven, but I'm still taking Cleveland in this one. Now for game seven at 8:30, Rockets Warriors. As Steph Curry still dealing with his thumb issue, and the Rockets still with this hounding defense on Steph Curry. Fred VanVleet led the Rockets in the last meeting in Game 6 with 29 points. Steph Curry also had 29 in that one. But the Warriors and Steph Curry are officially in danger of blowing a 3-1 lead. And remember, this game is in Houston. Houston is the higher seed. So we will see. It's going to be very interesting. Jimmy Butler only averaging 18 points over his last 10 games. Not exactly getting the playoff Jimmy that I think the Warriors were anticipating here. But should be a good matchup. Houston's coming in as a 2.5-point favorite. So we will see what happens here. It has been a very chippy series. I will also throw that out there. It's been, whether you feel like Dylan Brooks and some of these other guys on the Rockets are kind of swiping at Curry's injured hand and arm. It's getting physical. It's getting chippy. It's a good series. This is playoff basketball. This is what playoff basketball is all about. And if you're the Rockets, you go as big as possible. You get Steven Adams out there as much as you can, because he's been the X factor. Whether you believe it or not, he has been the complete X factor for this Houston Rockets team. Just in game six, off the bench, he had 17 points, only five rebounds, but it feels like he had so much more because a lot of those rebounds are coming off the offensive glass. And he's making extra possessions for Houston. He's having a huge impact. On the court, he was plus 15 for his plus minus. That was the second best out of any Houston Rocket in game six. But I look at plus minus with a grain of salt, because Jalen Green was a plus 20 and led the Rockets, and he shot 3 for 11. So yeah, you take that how you will, but gonna be a great game seven tonight. I'm taking the Warriors in this one. I just think the experience of Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green, all those guys. Look, Houston's a great team. Ime Udoka is a great coach. I would say this is going to be an experience that, you know, projects this Rockets team to real competitiveness and contention over these next couple of years. I think they're maybe like one star away. You know, you can't really rely on Fred VanVleet that much. I know Freddie Double V, he's been here. He's an NBA champion. He did go off in game six. He could very well go off in game seven tonight. But if you want to ask me who am I more confident in to have a crazy game and lead their team on the offensive side of the ball to the next round, I'm taking Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler over Fred VanVleet. I'm sorry. I just have to do it. The experience is there, and I'm going to stick with it. But you never know. We did just see the Minnesota Timberwolves take down the LA Lakers, and you see that new generation, that new era of NBA stars led by guys like Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Rockets and Alperen Şengün, Tyrese Haliburton, and you're seeing all these young guys start to take over, and it's been great. You know, it's always good to see parity and to see new faces leading in the league. So, a couple great games coming up later. We'll preview Knicks-Celtics coming up in a little bit, but when we come back, we'll break down the MLB weekend and see how your Yankees, Mets, your Red Sox, all those great teams, how their weekends went around the MLB. So stay tuned. More of the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, coming back with more for you here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio, that free 104.5 The Team app.
Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here. And if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team, follow my social media accounts at VFreds Media, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, life is the only thing we need. They need me to go, but I don't want to leave. Rest in peace, Lil' Key. Pigeonhole, I'm a night out. It's a different mode.
And we are back here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and the good old 104.5 The Team free app. The New York Yankees, still leading the American League East, dealing with some injury issues as of late, as now Anthony Volpe becomes the latest to leave the lineup after he injures his shoulder yesterday on a diving play at a ground ball. Hopefully it's minor. Hopefully. But as of right now, he is not in the lineup today as the Yankees look to get the series win over the Tampa Bay Rays. Of course, I always have to double check, make sure it's a 3, not a 4-game series. And it is just a 3-game series. As right now, they're even 1-1 as the Yankees would win game one as Fried combines for a one hitter alongside Devin Williams and Luke Weaver. Fried went 7 strong, only allowed the one hit, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, and a shutout. Devin Williams would come on in the 8th, go one inning. He'd throw 8 pitches, 7 of them for strikes. Had the one strikeout. And then Luke Weaver comes on for the save with 2 strikeouts. Continues his phenomenal start to this season as the Yankees. I want to say that's what their 3rd shutout of the year. Don't quote me on that. But it was a phenomenal pitching performance. And then it was Paul Goldschmidt who single-handedly led the Yankees on offense with a 3-run home run in the bottom of the 5th that got them on the board. And it was all the scoring that the Yankees needed in this one as they take the game 1 victory, 3-0. Aaron Judge gets his 2nd triple of the season too, and then also doubled in the 6th ahead of the Paul Goldschmidt home run. So Aaron Judge just continues to basically be the second coming of Barry Bonds, if you will. Yep. So this was the Yankees' third shutout of the year. I was correct. Here's the other weird part, though. All three of those shutouts have come against the Tampa Bay Rays. So very interesting there. Tampa Bay at this point had lost four straight, totaling only three runs in those four, and have been shut out five times this year. But they would get their revenge in game two with the 3-2 victory over the Yankees, as Judge would get his 11th home run of the year in the first inning. And then Austin Wells would follow that up with a, what would you call it, tie changing? It was 1-1, and then Austin Wells with the go-ahead, there you go, there's the word, with the go-ahead home run in the bottom of the fifth, but a two-run top of the eighth for the Tampa Bay Rays, led by a RBI single and an RBI fielder's choice. The Rays would go on to win this one as Pete Fairbanks would come in to get the save, pitching a flawless one-inning save. It was a bullpen game for the Yankees as well. And honestly, for a bullpen game, pretty solid. You know, Ryan Yarbrough went four innings, gave up the one run, had a few walks, but only the one run given up, only one hit, two strikeouts on the day. You'll take that out of Yarbrough for a bullpen game. Ian Hamilton went a strong inning, three Ks, struck out the side. Fernando Cruz went too strong. He gets a hold for that one. Mark Leiter Jr., who really was having a pretty good season so far, gets his second loss of the year. Mark Leiter Jr. would end up being the one to get the loss in this one, as he would give up the two runs in the top of the eighth. And then Tim Hill came on for Leiter Jr., would close out the game, but the Yankees would still fall 3-2. And now, coming up at 1:35, which you can hear Yankees pregame and Yankees baseball starting right here at right around 12:50 after the hot seat with Susan Waldman, Dave Sims, Emmanuel Barbari, all them. They will try to get the series win over the Tampa Bay Rays. It's going to be Will Warren on the mound for the Yankees against Taj Bradley. And the lineups, I would assume that they're out if the game's starting in only a couple hours. Remember, no Volpe today for the Yankees. Leading off is going to be Trent Grisham in center field. Judge gets the day off from the field. He's at DH. He bats second. Cody Bellinger bats third and right. Goldschmidt bats fourth at first. Jason Dominguez finally back in against a right-handed pitcher. For whatever reason, he wasn't in the lineup. I cannot understand why, considering this guy hits over 300 against righties and like 150 against lefties. Dominguez should always be in when you're facing a right-handed pitcher. J.C. Ascara behind the plate. He bats sixth, gives Wells the day off. Pablo Reyes bats seventh. He's at second base. Oswaldo Cabrera at third base. He bats eighth. And then Oswald Peraza in for Volpe bats ninth at shortstop. Wow, on paper, that's quite the interesting lineup for the New York Yankees, as the bottom half of that lineup, we'll see what they can do today against Taj Bradley. But you're really going to need some help from the big bats of Judge, Belly, Goldschmidt. Even Dominguez really needs to help you out today, and Trent Grisham too, if you want a chance to win this series. Moving on to the New York Mets. They did not play yesterday, as that game got postponed against the St. Louis Cardinals, but they win game one of this four-game series, 9-3. Clay Holmes gets the win, as they would win 9-3. Clay Holmes, another solid start for the guy. His ERA is down to 2.95. How about that for Clay? As he goes six innings, gives up eight hits and three earned runs and three strikeouts, but with all that offense, nine runs on the day for you, you can live with giving up a few from your starting pitcher. Jose Buto would come in relief, and then Rin Stanek closes out the ball game on offense. I mean, it was Juan Soto who went 2-for-5. It was Pete Alonso who went 2-for-5, had a pair of RBIs and a home run in this one, had a solo shot. Brandon Nimmo had a solo shot in the top of the seventh. It was Francisco Alvarez with a pair of RBIs as well. Excuse me, it was a two-run home run for Pete Alonso. Juan Soto scored on that one as well. Just an offensive juggernaut performance for the New York Mets in game one here. Now, this is where today's game gets interesting because the Mets currently 22-11, top of the NL East, but they played 33 games this year. The New York Mets have lost game 34 of the regular season 15 years in a row, going all the way back to May 12th, 2010. Will the streak break today? We will find out. We were going to find out yesterday until the delay, but it should be an interesting, you know, game to watch just to see if that holds true. That game is at 1:15 today, so again, right after the hot seat. And it's Blake Tidwell making his season debut on the mound for the New York Mets against Eric Fetty of the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, lineups should be out as I quickly stall so I can look up the Mets starting lineup. It's Francisco Lindor leading off at shortstop. Soto bats second and right. Pete Alonso bats third at first. Brandon Nimmo is DHing. He bats fourth. Jesse Winker in left, fifth. Luis Torrens giving Francisco Alvarez the day off behind the plate, bats sixth. Jeff McNeil bats seventh, the second baseman. Luis Angel Acuna, third base, bats eighth. And Jose Azucar, center fielder, bats ninth. Moving on to the Boston Red Sox. They, again, just like the Yankees, with a chance to win the three-game series against the Minnesota Twins after winning game one by a score of 6-1, losing game two 4-3, and now with a chance to take the series with their ace, Garrett Crochet, on the mound, who's 3-2 on the year, 2.05 ERA. He is facing off against Chris Paddock, who is sporting a whopping 0-3 record and a 5.60 ERA on the season. Red Sox should be able to get the job done in this one, but tough news for the Boston Red Sox as young prospect and young first baseman Tristan Casas, who has been having a decent start to the year. Look, he's a big power bat, has a few home runs, average a little bit low, but he ended up getting injured after reaching first base against the Twins in game two of this series, and he was placed on the 10-day injured list with a ruptured left patellar tendon. That doesn't sound good, but he's only on the 10-day IL, so we'll see what happens with Tristan Casas, but he has had some injury issues in the past. Last season, he only played 63 games due to a left rib cage injury. And in those 63 games, he hit .241 with 13 home runs, 32 RBI. So speedy recovery for Tristan Casas, the young Red Sox first baseman. Best of luck. As I mentioned, they take on the Minnesota Twins at 1:35. So all three games today for your regional teams of interest, pretty much on at the same exact time. At 1:35, first pitch for the Red Sox and the Twins, game three of this series. As again, Red Sox look to get the series victory and avoid that loss. Jarren Duran leads off in left field. Devers going to DH. He bats second. Bregman, who's been a stud for the Red Sox so far, bats third. He's playing third, of course. Christian Campbell, the young second baseman, bats cleanup. Willier Abreu in right field bats fifth. Romy Gonzalez is in for Tristan Casas at first. He bats sixth. David Hamilton at shortstop bats seventh. Carlos Narvaez, catcher, bats eighth. And Sedane Rafaela, the center fielder, bats ninth. So maybe we go 3-for-3 today. All three of our regional teams of interest will get wins this afternoon around the MLB. We'll see. Fingers crossed. You know, a guy can hope. Coming up after this, we'll be breaking down the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond and previewing the Knicks round two against the Boston Celtics. Stay with us. More of the Hot Seat coming up after this with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio, the free 104.5 The Team app.
Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And we're back here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, wrapping up this Sunday's show with, of course, how could we forget, the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. And without further ado, we'll dive right into it as we start with a bit of, sad but happy news, I guess, if you will. If you haven't seen the video of the fan who fell at PNC Park in Pittsburgh just this past week, I wouldn't suggest you go watch this video because it's viewer discretion advised. It's certainly a hard watch and a very sad story. But Kevon Markwood, the 20-year-old man who slipped off a railing in right field at PNC Park and fell onto the field about 21 feet. He's awake. He's making progress. He was in critical condition for a while, but he is awake and is on to the next phases of recovery. So, very good news there to hear that, the fan is awake and responding well. It is a very hard story to follow throughout the week, we've all been to baseball games. We all, we know how exciting it can get, especially when your team makes a big play to get back in a game or to win a game or something. And we all have had a few drinks or so, or, a couple libations at baseball games or whatever game you're at. But, just a very difficult thing to watch happen, because it really could happen to anybody. And if you're going to take anything from a story like this, it's, just be careful. That's all you can really say. Just be careful. And in some NBA news, Greg Popovich has announced that he is officially stepping down as head coach after some health issues this past year. He is officially transitioning to a full-time role as the team's president of basketball operations. Mitch Johnson, who was named acting head coach after Popovich had to step down back in November for some health issues, Johnson takes over head coaching duties permanently, who has been with the Spurs for quite some time and knows the system, knows the organization. They maintain that continuity that's been laid out through Popovich and team CEO R.C. Buford and general manager Brian Wright, who all were hired in the same 2016 offseason as Mitch Johnson. They've got their guy. They weren't going to external resources. They weren't looking at Mike Malone's or Taylor Jenkins or whoever. They knew they had their guy and they went with him. And, best of luck to both Coach Pop and hats off to a legendary Hall of Fame career for Coach Popovich, and best of luck to Mitch Johnson taking over. Big shoes to fill, but we'll see how he does. A very interesting story here. If you remember this name from March Madness or around NBA or NCAA basketball season, Ian Shiflin, the big Clemson power forward, who was very good for the Clemson basketball team. But he also makes a pretty excellent tight end. After Clemson football coach Dabo Swinney had joked with the 6'8" power forward that he would make an excellent tight end, Shiflin assumed it was all in good fun. But 2 weeks ago, after initially entering the transfer portal this offseason, after a phone call from Dabo Swinney with a serious offer, Ian Shiflin has decided to join the Tigers football team and is becoming a tight end, foregoing, any pro basketball aspirations, foregoing the draft or anything. And he gets one more year of eligibility, but this time to be playing football. Very interesting here. How do you, I don't know. I'm sure this kid must have grown up playing football. you know, as a kid, but to go from playing basketball all these years to be a Power 5, a very good Power 5 player at that, and to then decide maybe this is just was his dream all along, who knows. But Shiflin averaged 12 points, 9 rebounds per game last year with Clemson before they would lose to McNeese in the first round of the tournament. But yeah, he had entered the transfer portal hoping for a fifth year of eligibility, and instead ends up with another year of eligibility, but this time playing football. So this should be very fun to watch with this Clemson football team, and you know, seeing how he ends up doing. Clemson did lose their starting tight end Jake Brinningstuhl to the Kansas City Chiefs as an undrafted free agent. So Shiflin could end up starting pretty early on. This is going to be a fun one to watch. Real quick, the New York Knicks, they defeat the Detroit Pistons in 6 games. They will end up taking on the Boston Celtics next round after Jalen Brunson's 40-point performance in Game 6. Puts Ausar Thompson on skates for the game-winning 3. Had all of Knicks, you know, the Knicks fans going nuts. The New York Knicks, they're still here. They're still fighting. And I tell you what, the team that played against Detroit in Game 6, that team could take Boston Celtics to 6 or 7 and maybe even win the series. I think if they play like that, they can do it. But you're really going to need Karl Anthony Towns to show up. If Kat doesn't show up and have a huge series, I'm talking averaging like 25-10, it might be onto the offseason for the Knicks. But we'll see. We'll be breaking it all down for you as the series goes on. Hey, tune in tomorrow from 10 until 1 as me and my guy MJ, who you might have also heard on Open Mic in the afternoons, now Monday through Friday from 3 to 4. If you haven't checked it out yet, highly recommend. Always does a great job. Me and MJ will be in for Roger tomorrow for Big Board Sports from 10 to 1. Always a good time. Always a fun show when me and MJ get to get together and co-host a couple hours together. So be sure to tune in. It's going to be some must-listen radio. Thank everybody for tuning in to this Sunday edition of The Hot Seat. If you're out there, if you're watching your Star Wars, enjoy your Star Wars day. If you're watching playoff basketball, playoff hockey, which I did fail to mention, wild game 7 last night between the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars. Dallas with a 4-goal third period to come back and win this one. Another game 7 coming up tonight. The St. Louis Blues and the Winnipeg Jets. Does Winnipeg go home first round after winning the President's Trophy? We'll find out at 7 p.m. tonight. Once again, thank you everybody for tuning in. This has been The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. We'll be back tomorrow for Big Board Sports from 10 to 1. And of course, back next Sunday for more of the hottest takes, the hottest topics, the hottest headlines around the world of sports and beyond. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.